Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The Israeli army says it's encircled Khan Yunis, the second largest city in Gaza. Palestinian health officials said dozens of people have been killed in the fighting there, and the UN reports a hospital was struck. Meanwhile, Israel reportedly is considering a ceasefire plan in exchange for hostages coming home. The Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, met with hostage families yesterday. He said his government, quote, has an initiative, but denied any real proposal from Hamas. For some context, we spoke today to political analyst Dalia Shendlin in Tel Aviv. Her recent book is The Crooked Timber of Democracy in Israel, Promise Unfulfilled. And she said it was unclear if a ceasefire could materialize soon.
The Israeli government is facing pressure, both particularly, I would say, international pressure and pressure from the situation in Gaza, which is extremely dire, and some pressure from home, from the Israeli public, particularly regarding hostage release. And it seems they are beginning to think within the war cabinet that there is a reason to move forward with something like a beginning of a vision for a pause or a ceasefire. And we also know there are divisions within the war cabinet about whether the current continued war is the best way to achieve hostage release. Of course, the former chief of staff, who is part of the war cabinet, has said that it's better to reach a deal. But from what we do know now, it seems that Hamas has rejected the proposal, at least as has been reported by AP. So it was a ceasefire proposal that seemed to come and go very quickly. Maybe we haven't seen the end of the conversation.
Yeah. Well, this, of course, is this proposal anyway. This idea is something the hostage families have pushed for some way to bring their loved ones home. They've become increasingly vocal and angry at the government of Prime Minister Netanyahu this week, kind of busting into a meeting of the parliament. At this moment, how much of a voice do these families have in Israeli society, Israeli politics?
They do seem to have a very prominent voice in the public. The weekly demonstrations have been getting bigger. They are flooding the major square in Tel Aviv. And they are very anguished, and they have been demanding to meet with public officials over the course of this time, including with the prime minister. The question is, what impact does this kind of public demonstration actually have? And they don't actually have any political leverage. And so the question is really, does the government give in to this public sentiment? And the real contours of this seem to be that the government, at least Netanyahu's approach to this, seems to be to try to withstand that public pressure and continue with the war while the public is saying, or at least the public who are supporting the hostages, believe that they are not sufficiently prioritizing hostage release. And that's a point of tension, but they don't actually have a means to force the government to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you about the Prime Minister Netanyahu, of course, the key decision maker here in this war. One poll this month suggests just 15% of Israelis want him to stay in office after the war ends. Netanyahu has said he opposes a two-state solution. How does this political pressure potentially affect his decisions about this war?
There is certainly the appearance of him not prosecuting this war according to purely security-related interests and a very strong perception among Israelis. We've seen this reinforced in various surveys that he is bringing his personal political needs and interests into his conduct of the war. And that is very damaging to his public image. It's part of a series of very bad numbers for him in all the polls, whether you look at the level of trust in the government or the plunging support for his original coalition of parties if elections were held today. His own Likud is losing about half of its support in public polls. And the people who prefer him as prime minister to one of the most prominent, not exactly an opposition figure, we used to be an opposition figure, Benny Gantz, who's now in the war coalition, he's trailing him by a very wide gap. And so it's very hard to say whether Netanyahu is actually making his decisions. For example, the accusation is that he continues to drag out the war, even against the advice of some people within the war cabinet, because of these political interests. I think it's very hard to prove that one way or the other, but certainly the appearance that that's what he's doing is damaging his relationship with the public and damaging public trust in his leadership.
As this discussion is happening in Israel, U.S. envoys are in the region trying to push more talks on ceasefire, more talks on hostages. What leverage do you think the U.S. government has over Israel, if any?
I think the U.S. has enormous leverage over Israel. I think the question is whether the U.S. wants to use that leverage. The U.S. has many things that it can do to signal that it will really pressure Israel into making decisions that Israel, the Israeli current Israeli government, might not want to make, whether those are decisions about how to use American military aid or whether to or what to do in the UN Security Council. I will remember that we have the possibility of a decision from the International Court of Justice that might eventually reach a resolution at the UN Security Council. And America has lots of means to use its leverage over Israel. Up until now, America has absolutely steadfastly not wanted to pressure Israel. There has been, again, a perception that President Biden needs to prove that he is very committed to Israel and Israel's security and supports Israel in order to be able to use that leverage. Up until now, we have not seen America follow through on the second part of that, which is using the leverage. But certainly America has it.
Yeah. We've been talking to Dalia Shendlin. She's a political analyst, a columnist based in Tel Aviv. Dalia, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you for having me.